All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do.
Yep.
Did the Eisner's thing happen today?
Like the winners?
Yeah, the winners. Was that announced?
I thought that was on like Saturday, like when Comic-Con is.
Maybe it's on Saturday.
Why? What are you looking at?
I saw just like a tweet from the dude that does Silver Coin. He's like, thank you. And I was like, wait, did that happen?
I know the Ringos got announced, like the nominees.
Ringo nominees? Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So maybe it's that.
Oh, sorry. This is just what I was looking at the time.
Don't scare me like that. But anyway, we got different time codes in the description. We got the book, which is Emo Deadpool. We got the Back Matter Matters and the pull list. But we start with the news. Nathan, before we get to the news, actually.
Okay.
We got a hater. I just want to talk about it for a sec.
We have a hater?
We have a hater online.
Cool.
We got our first thumbs down on a video
on
YouTube. And it was for one of our best videos, Superman Space Age.
Mm.
And I'm like, what the fuck? It's a great book, great video.
That was me.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe someone went to go press good job, but actually didn't down because they're right next to each other.
So if all of you all the listeners could just go back to Superman Space Age, just double check.
Make sure
you don't
have
a thumbs
down. If you did nothing, just do thumbs up.
Yeah. Even if you did nothing and you've never liked a video in your life, just double check. And if nothing's highlighted, just hit thumbs up.
Yeah. That was the first sense of any hate on any beef on
God,
YouTube.
The internet's such a toxic place.
Actually, everyone go thumbs down this video. I don't give a shit.
Let's see how many we can get.
Oh shit. But anyway, Nathan,
not a whole lot of like comic book news, but there's a lot of comic book news, you know?
Sure. A new book coming to Image probably from Mirka Andolfo and Laura Braga.
Did not know that. That's pretty cool.
Laura Braga.
What
it's called
it?
Per Evil.
Hmm.
I think it's got to do with like evil cats or something.
Nice. Mirka's doing some work.
Yeah. She's putting in.
Yeah, normally
putting
it
in
seems
like
she only has like one or two projects going, but she's got some stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good.
She's cooking.
Daniel, there's going to be a Thunderbolts book with the weird janky ass team that the MCU has.
Oh, cool.
So it's going to include
the team you know.
Black Widow, Sharon Carter, a.k.a. the Destroyer, or Destroyer, not the Destroyer. Did you know that was a thing?
No, it's new to me.
That seems pretty lame. White Widow, Red Guardian, U.S. Agent, and Shang-Chi is going to be on this team.
Shang-Chi's in the Thunderbolts?
Yes.
Is that a spoiler?
No, it's on the cover.
Isn't like...
This is the comic book.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't Taskmaster in it or no?
Not in this comic book one, no.
Boo.
Yeah, which would be kind of cool, but no.
When's that come out? What's the team?
The creative team is Colin Kelly, Jackson Lansing are co-writing it together with art by Geraldo Borges.
Sweet.
Borges. So they are going to be led by Bucky and Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. I don't know if that's one name or two names, but
I think that's like the,
is that the girl that's like doing it in like the MCU?
The Julia Lewis character.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't care about her.
Yeah. So I guess when's that coming out?
This December.
December.
Yeah. Wow. That's far away. Why are they announcing it now?
Yeah. You need to tell me like 2 weeks before it comes out.
I know. And then I'll be like, yes.
Like, sweet.
Keep me hyped.
Nathan.
Yes.
Our previous episode book that we read, Zom 100. It's getting a live-action movie.
Already?
Yeah. Comes out...
There's been one episode out of the anime.
Comes out August 3rd. There's already a trailer for it.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
What?
I like Googled Zom 100, and I was like, what the fuck is that? Is that some old thing? No, it's a new thing. And it comes out on Netflix August 3rd. So maybe like 2 weeks after this episode drops?
Wait. But they just started the anime.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Netflix is cashing
the
in.
The balls.
The cojones.
Well, they I don't think Netflix has the anime, do they?
They do, yeah. That's how I watched it.
Really? I watched it on Hulu. That's crazy.
Yeah, because like Hulu's normally connected with like Crunchyroll, kind of. But,
yeah.
But I guess you're able to watch on Netflix, too. It's weird.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah. But Netflix has the movie.
I don't know if I want to watch it.
It looks promising, honestly. Like, it doesn't look like half-assed or anything.
Hmm.
No, because it's just another zombie movie.
Apparently, the studio that makes like Pokemon made Zom 100.
Yeah.
So that's, you sent me that.
I'm like, did you see that TikTok I sent
you?
Yeah.
That's what I saw that and I was like, oh shit, that show came out. I should watch it. So
yeah, it was good. I watched that episode. We'll talk about it in the pull list.
Yes. You know, American comics news. Actually, a lot of this is just movie stuff. Do you have anything that's actually comics? The real news?
Nope.
Okay, we see Wolverine in costume for Deadpool 3. Pretty cool.
Look cool.
Pretty cool. Good it looks costume. Good. As soon as it happened, that's all I could see that day online. I was basically. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, okay, he looks good. I don't want to, you know, see it anymore. But
Jennifer Garner is going to be Elektra in Deadpool 3.
Yep.
And that's cool. I really hope this is like Deadpool kills like the Fox universe or something.
That would be awesome.
That'd be so funny. And it'd be
that
legendary.
Would be really funny. Yeah.
And that's like,
I would enjoy
the
that.
MCU, like the MCU's answer for like all that old shit. So they don't have to address it anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good idea.
Right. So they don't have some weird thing with Secret Wars where it's like, look at it's
fucking
Human it's, Torch.
It's, yeah, Chris Evans again.
But that's Cap. And they're like, look at,
they'll probably make that joke at some point.
Like, is this Batman? No, it's Daredevil, yeah. You know? And so I would like that a lot.
Yeah. But his suit looks good. I'm excited to see what his like helmet looks like, or his cowl, whatever you want to call it. If he ends up putting that on,
yeah.
I hope he does. I'm sure he will. Do you think it's going to be big ears or the big?
I hope to God it is
the big whatever you call these the eyes.
Yeah, the eyeliner, whatever.
I don't think that's what he calls it.
The wings,
the eye wings,
the eyebrows,
the eyebrows. Yes.
Did you ever see that like old deleted scene from like? Wolverine 2 or whatever.
The Wolverine.
The
right?
Wolverine, correct, yeah. If they just have that helmet, that'd be super fucking dope.
That would be pretty cool. It looks good.
It looks good, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they just get that somehow.
I've seen different like concept designs that someone just like made up for you, and there's like some pretty like tame ones that like don't go out super far, but I want it to be like
it needs to be ridiculous.
Yeah. It needs to be like an exaggeration.
You know, you remember those videos where it's like Wolverine versus somebody and it'd be some like live action dude on YouTube and he'd be like fighting people.
Oh yeah.
And like they're always like ridiculous. It was like Wolverine versus Predator or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to look like that.
That would be pretty awesome. Other big casting news. Did you see all the Superman Legacy stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Let's just jump to the important one, okay? Nathan Fillion.
Anthony Cardigan.
Cast as Guy Gardner.
I thought
in Superman Legacy, and he's gonna have a bowl cut. Confirmed.
Confirmed by James Gunn.
Confirmed bowl cut.
I thought it was gonna be Hal Jordan. I'm like, okay, cool, yeah.
Hal Jordan would be pretty solid. I see him probably more as that than a Guy Gardner, so we'll see what happens. I just hope he's not just like a punchline, you know, but they are putting the silliest Green Lantern in there with a bowl cut.
Yeah.
So as long as they make fun of the bowl cut, not the fact that he's a Green Lantern, because like that joke's dead, right?
Probably.
We're all on the same page.
Probably.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Not enough James Gunn keeps it going.
He might. He might just be like, you know, this is an easy layup, you know,
yeah.
To get people laughing in our movie. And it might be. And that's just what sometimes Green Lantern needs to be, you know?
Yeah.
But
and also Anthony Cardigan cast as Metamorpho.
Yeah, I'm super happy about
Noho
that.
Noho Hank.
Did you say Anthony Cardigan?
Huh?
Did you say Anthony Cardigan?
Carrigan,
yeah.
Autocorrect, dude.
That's a great fucking cast. Because he's a bald guy, and Metamorpho's bald, and that's why they're good together.
I always pictured it as, like, I don't know, like The Rock or something. not like they'd get The Rock.
Right.
But, like...
He's like, I'm coming back.
He's
no more Black Adam.
He's normally, like, a big dude, you know?
Yeah, he's a pretty buff dude. But this guy could get buff. I can see him being buff.
I don't care what...
I don't care if he is buff
I don't care
or
if Metamorpho's, like, small or something. Like,
yeah.
He's not that important of a character to me. But this is very, very random... casting, you know,
it is. There's a lot of people. There's like Hawk Girl in there.
Mr. Terrific's
in there. Yeah. Did you know? Did you recognize any of those actors?
From like a very small thing a long time ago. Kind
yeah,
of.
I didn't really recognize them off rip, but
we got another Ahsoka trailer. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that there was a trailer, and I had the opportunity to watch it, but I didn't.
It was pretty cool. I was bored. And that's coming. I don't know if we knew this already, but Hitmonkey is getting a season 2.
Really?
Really.
That came out like a year ago.
Maybe 2 years ago. I don't know.
Year ago.
Okay.
Almost 2 years ago, probably at this point. But
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm is like, Jason Sudeikis coming back?
They set it up for him to come back like in the end of that episode or the end of that season.
What happened?
They go into like America or something and they're trying to find like his daughter.
Ooh, yeah.
Something like that.
The hitman's daughter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he had just found out that he had a daughter or something.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Okay. That's cool. I'll give it a shot. I wasn't crazy about like Hitmonkey by the end of season one. I was just more astounded that it just got made in general.
Yeah. Know? So episode 85, and that was at like, okay, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Cool.
Almost 100 weeks ago. So let's get into the book.
Alrighty. We were supposed to have a buddy on who's a big fan of Spawn, but...
Big fan, more so than us.
Yeah, but...
Well, actually, I had never read Spawn.
Yeah, neither have I.
Okay, yeah. But we read Spawn by Todd McFarlane with lettering by Tom Orzechowski. It was the first time I read that. With color by Steve Olaf, Ruben Rude, and Ollie Optics. So we just read the first trade here, but before we get into it...
Okay.
We had one request from my friend that died, and that's why he can come on.
He didn't die.
He died. He asked us.
Should we do this after?
I think we just do this right up top.
Okay.
Because there's going to be a Spawn movie. Spawn's already been cast. Jamie Foxx, whatever.
Right.
But if you had a fan cast, who would you put? And he has his answer as well.
Let's hear it.
But I wanted to ask you first. Because you probably got at least one of the same people. So.
For Spawn?
So Spawn, we're casting Spawn and Violator.
Violator, the clown. So for the clown, it's clearly Danny DeVito.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Of course.
Yeah, very clear.
He's like a little old, so I don't know if it'd really translate that well.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be fine still.
Just put some makeup, and he acts a little bombastic.
For Spawn, I'd cast 50 Cent.
Really? Interesting.
Now, you know what? There's like a Ice handful Cube. Of dudes that are like, that would work perfectly fine. I think the Spawn that I have in my head as far as like voice and everything is the one from like the animated show.
Yeah.
And I feel like Idris Elba is like the closest to that.
Yeah.
You know,
I put two options and Idris Elba was one of them.
Was the other one Yahya Abu Mateen?
Ooh, that's a good one too.
Okay.
He's a good actor. So Parker said Lakeith Stanfield.
I just looked that up.
Sorry to bother you.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I forgot when I was thinking about this, I forgot that the Spawn movie was happening and I was like, oh, Jamie Foxx would be good. And then I thought about it for like 2 seconds. And I'm like, oh, wait, I think he's already going to be Spawn.
Okay,
if that's even happening.
Like, that's a fine casting. But like, I'll just keep thinking like that's Jamie Foxx in there. You know, like if I hear his voice coming out of that mask, it's going to be a little hard to take it seriously.
But I put either Idris Elba or Michael B. Jordan. Because I think Michael B. Jordan has a good, like, brooding kind of feel.
Yeah, but I just don't think Spawn should be this, like, should have sex appeal. You know what I mean?
He's not. I think you still make him ugly.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay.
And then for my Violator, I just put whatever Skarsgård did it, Pennywise. Bill?
Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, so you can't really tell in, like, the book, but Violator's, like, much shorter.
Yeah.
So I had like a couple other things. Like you can have like the Dink. I think he could do really well.
Ooh, interesting.
Do you know who played the Violator in like the first
one? It was one? Like John Leguizamo, wasn't it?
That Mexican guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like it doesn't have to be someone shorter in order to play him. I think he just squatted or something. But
yeah, true. Yeah, you could put on like a fat suit and stuff.
Yeah, but if it's like a smaller character, it could be like a smaller actor as well.
Yeah, I think Danny DeVito would crush.
Maybe the Dink or like Warwick Davis, which is that dude from like Willow. You know,
I think he's got this good
smile.
He's got some chops.
Like, yeah. And the chops as well. So yeah. There's a lot of things that could work there.
It is weird that John Leguizamo was the Violator first.
Yeah.
Did you send me that clip?
Yeah. I sent you that clip.
And he was like so excited to be the Violator.
Yeah. No, he was stoked.
Yeah.
I watched the movie and he actually did really good. I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like super in it.
I haven't seen the movie in like probably almost a decade, but good movie. Enough.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. So.
All right. So we were at Spawn.
Welcome to the roast of Spawn.
Oh God, you didn't like it?
Did you like it?
I thought it was pretty good.
It really.
I mean, I like how it looks.
It's fine. In parts.
The pencils are pretty good.
Pencils, yeah.
But you didn't like the story? I had no idea what to expect, to be honest. So when I got this, I was like, okay, interesting.
I'll complain throughout.
Okay,
but this will be much easier without Parker here. So this is like a 4-part arc, right?
Sure.
And then a one shot.
Yeah.
And then a part one of the next arc, all in the first trade.
That's all very valid. Yeah.
And that doesn't like work for me. You know, I know if you stopped at 4, it'd be too short or whatever. But
I think 5 would even be fine. But
it's like, have these one shot stories like later or something, or have them in the middle of an arc.
The issue 6, I was like, we don't need this.
Exactly.
What the hell's going on here?
And so first complaint, let's get into it.
Oh, the book?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So basically, Lieutenant Al Simmons is a guy that was killed, and then he accepted a deal with like a demon or the devil or whoever that is. They don't ever name him.
Real quick.
Okay.
Next thing. So Spawn's like probably like one of the coolest designed characters.
Easily.
I would say. Just because it's like, it's a lot of just dumb stuff, but it's cool.
It's like cool 90s shit.
Cool 90s shit. Yeah.
Like this first full body Spawn page is so good, but his cape goes everywhere. It fills every nook and cranny. It cannot be, you know, practical.
Yeah, no.
it's so bizarre to like think about what this cape would like look like in live action. I know that the movie tried and it looked crazy too, but like just looking at this, it looks cool.
Yeah, no,
really cool.
John, really, I love a good
only works in comics, yep. Which I can appreciate. It's just very funny to like look at practically and be like, he's got a lot going on here.
So look at this page, and it's just hard for me to think like, his name's Al. You know what I mean?
Why?
Oh no, it's Al.
They don't know him as Al.
I know, but it's just like a character like Spawn, like Al Simmons.
You think it should be like? Like some
cool,
some gritty and cool.
Yeah, like
Tim.
Yeah, Tim would be way cooler.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, he's back as Spawn. He has, like, very small, like, vague memories of who he used to be, but he just knows he has a wife. So he wants to find her and, like, figure out who he is. Meanwhile, there's some police detectives named...
Sam and Twitch.
Yeah, Sam Burke and Twitch. Who are investigating the murder of notorious hitmen.
Hot take.
They're the best part.
They're the best part.
Yeah, 100%. I was looking at their designs. Like, they're just so fun to, like, look at. Because Burke is, like, such a big cop, you know?
Yeah.
And then Twitch is so, like, what he sounds like. He's just so, like, small. And, like, Todd always puts them in silhouette. And you know exactly who's who.
Exactly.
And it's so fun to look at.
So, Brian Michael Bendis, like one of his earlier works was a Sam and Twitch comic.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And so I was like, I just kind of want a book of this,
yeah,
you know? And I feel like Brian Michael Bendis would do really well with that. Cause he loves cop the, shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll have to do that soon.
Also, this is the era of comics where there's like just a bunch of chains, or at least kids love chains. That's the thing, but it's just so. Like, this would be the loudest and, like, least stealthy superhero, like, in person.
Yeah.
Like, he's just walking around and there's, like, chain noises everywhere. But pretty fun. So, Spawn saves a girl who's about to be, like, assaulted by 4 guys. And then he takes off his mask and he sees that he's all fucked up and he's got, like, dead skin or whatever. And there's, like, a small bit with the devil being like, I got you. And that's pretty much, like, this issue.
Yeah.
They name drop Youngbloods, which is fun because this was in a time where they were like, we're all one universe.
Yeah, the Image universe is one thing.
And you could be a part of it if you want to, I think was the deal.
Yeah, I don't know.
So like it's like this, Spawn and Savage Dragon, just in this trade are confirmed to be all together.
I think if we get Youngbloods and we got like the Trinity.
We should do Youngbloods. Like, I have no idea what Youngbloods is about.
I know that. I just know about Bedrock and that's it.
Oh yeah, Bedrock.
That was Rob. No, not Rob Liefeld. That was.
I think it was Liefeld, wasn't
was it? Was it? I thought that was Jim Lee. No, it's definitely Liefeld because I remember some bad drawings. What did Jim Lee do in all this? No, he did the fucking Wildcats and shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that was definitely Rob Liefeld.
Is that why that went back to DC? Because Jim Lee took it back?
That makes sense. But I'm sure it's like maybe one became before the other.
I looked at Youngblood's creator, and it came up with the name Jesse Colin Young, who's an American musician for the 1960s group, the Youngbloods.
That's a good band name.
Yeah. So let me just specify comics. It's funny that that guy is like more famous than Youngblood. Oh, it's just Youngblood. It's not plural, which seems silly because it's a whole team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rob Liefeld.
Okay.
We should do that, though. That sounds insane.
Yeah.
It's probably not good at all. Was it Liefeld that did Savage Dragon?
No, that is Eric Larson.
Oh, you're right. Of course.
Mm-hmm. That was sick, though.
I liked that book.
Yeah, it was all the 90s I wanted to be.
I just loved like the design of the pages. Like, he's really good at trying to be like innovative with like his pages, which is cool. And there's multiple panels that are just like created by like a bunch of cobweb or something like that, which I think is fun.
Yeah.
And then I also like...
Very Spider-Man of him.
Yeah, very Spider-Man of him. And then what's very Batman of him is when he does like this like half shaded face, but like the top of his head is like colored. Mm-hmm. I really like that sort of design because then like his teeth are like fully colored in.
You know?
And I think that just design choice looks really cool.
Mm-hmm. There's like this weird bit where he's like showing that he knows he like has a wife, but it's like this like white woman.
Yeah.
It looks like Mila Kunis or something.
I didn't get that, but sure. No,
but like, it's just like,
he's like,
cause that's not his wife, you know?
Yeah. So I think he's like, I have a wife. This is probably what my wife looks like, but he knows that he's black. So why does he think? He does later when he tries to like turn himself into a person with his powers. So yeah, I wonder why that person showed up when he was trying to think of who his wife was. But
oh, so there's this some body that he like threw out of like a window. I think it was somebody that was
like a hitman.
No, it was just like some thugs in the hall.
Oh yeah, yeah, they were trying to like assault that woman.
Yeah. And look at the cakes on this guy.
He's got some cakes.
Yeah. You know, I got to point out some cakes.
He squats. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. I was like, whoa.
You are the cake detector. Cause I think I like look at it. I'm like, he's got a big butt. And then I keep going and I forget about it. But you're like, I need to notate this.
I need to write this down. What page is this? and it does. This book does one of like my least favorite things ever.
News broadcast. Okay.
With paragraphs.
It was rough. Like, I started reading this book, and then, like, the second or third page was, like, a huge news broadcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this right now. So I stopped reading.
So I'm going to go to bed.
For a couple days.
It was a whole page.
I think it works well in some scenarios in this book, but I totally agree, because when you need to do, like, a news broadcast to introduce, like, the main character, Al Simmons, you know, I'm not going to retain that information. If I wanted to read a book, I would have read a book.
Right.
So, I don't know. It works.
It's a telling and not showing kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, I think Frank Miller does it a little bit better.
Yeah. It's not as dense.
Yeah. His is not as dense.
It's a lot of panels. You know?
It is. And I, like, I was kind of dumb and I didn't know the order to, like, read it.
Yeah.
There's these three newscasters. There's the one for CNN. This guy, this like fatter dude that works for My View on 2, but that number keeps changing every time
he's fired.
I guess he gets fired because he's so like angry.
Well, same with this dude. He was on like E later.
Yeah.
And this is like 7,
but this chick stays at CNN. They like her there.
Yeah. I guess
so. Like, I don't know why why is it important? It's not important, but like, why do they keep changing like the news broadcast that they're on? So strange.
Yeah. In the same issue. This is like, in the same issue there, and like, or maybe it's just a different broadcaster altogether. Hold on.
Yeah. He goes to E. Yeah. Wait,
not the big dude.
I think it is a different broadcaster, actually. I mean, they both look eerily similar.
Yeah, that's weird.
Whoa, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I have a fat guy with a goatee, and then another fat guy with a beard. And I'll never know. So, and then the other guy... The guy on E has like a little like flavor saver, and the other guy was just
he's got a little 7. Like, he's got a little like Alfred mustache.
Yeah,
very interesting.
All right, issue 2.
Issue 2. So we get an introduction to the Violator. He's like this
bad name.
I think it's solid.
You think it's solid?
I think it's solid.
I don't know. It just isn't.
It's memorable. You know he's a bad guy.
So the Violator seems like it fits with like the monster he turns into.
Sure.
But like, I don't know. I just feel like he'd have like a different name.
I disagree.
They could have just called him the clown and that would have been fine.
I think vice versa. This guy looks like he violates people.
Probably, but
see, so then it works.
You wear it like a name, like a badge.
He just looks weird.
Yeah, he does.
The makeup, very off-putting, but yeah, he's like a super demented guy in like a freaky clown makeup sort of getup. And we also see this other creature, you know, rip up another mafia guy, which is then reported on the news.
Yeah, it's this thing likes just tearing out hearts.
I don't think this is an anatomically correct heart because there's too many pipes.
Yeah, it should only be like four, I think.
Yeah, there's like the aortic valve or whatever that does the main stuff on top. And then there's like two other ones probably.
Yeah, I think there's two aortic valves.
I don't know what a heart looks like. You know, I think there's three. I think there's three pipes, but I don't know. There's something fucked about this guy's heart. True. But this is an insane design, right? Like,
yeah,
I think it's fun because like it's just obviously Todd McFarlane being like, I could just make whatever I want.
If he showed me this before this book came out, I would have notes. You know, I'm like, why are his legs so skinny? And
he
stuff
does
like that.
Have some skinny ass legs. That's
like,
for sure.
Like the horns are cool and like creative, I guess.
What's the back horn about? You know,
that's in the movie. That thing moves for some reason.
Ooh, that's
like,
weird.
Like it retracts.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would just make like his legs bigger or something, you know, give him like a little tail.
Yeah.
You know, just to make him look more like a reptile or something. But yeah, it's just like kind of a skinny person.
I think it's fine. I like how big the mouth is.
The fucking underbite.
The underbite goes crazy.
The devil has that too. Like yeah. I know they never call him
that's
the devil,
how you
but
know
that's the devil.
You're a bad person is if you have an underbite.
I guess so.
If there's any listeners out here.
Yeah, my dog has an underbite. Bad person.
Yeah, bad dog.
Yeah, bad Linus.
No, he's a good dog. I really enjoy the lettering. I think the lettering plays a huge part in like the identity of this book, especially with the Violator, because he's like, you could tell he's got a lot of fluctuation in his voice just with how things are like bolded at like different font sizes or just like the actual like word art itself is pretty fun.
That's how you know like someone's supposed to sound like annoying.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And I think they nail that. Also on this news broadcast, there's like another one.
Dude,
it's apparently canon that Youngblood like out franchises TMNT. Did you read that?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I saw that, but like I didn't really think about it that much.
Yeah, and I was like, that's insane.
Yeah,
to be like, oh, in this universe we're like way more popular than TMNT.
Yeah,
you know?
In issue two,
like yeah, in issue two, like this is there's definitely like less than a year of Image Comics being a thing
after three live action movies, you know.
Yeah, and then the news guy is like, I knew they'd topple those pizza eating turtles, you know. So I'm like, that's weird, and maybe you're a little, you know, not confident in your whole
publishing
company.
I can see your insecurities, Todd.
Yeah, totally. Spawn tries to use his mysterious powers to look like a man, but he turns into a white man.
No!
Typical! I really like this panel. I think it's just funny out of context. Like, if you were to just, like, post this on Twitter or whatever, but he's like, not again, this can't be. I'm a black man, and it's clearly like a white man trying to like, yeah. Like saying that. And it's a funny panel to me. Spawn remembers a dude from his past that used to like be his boss and his friend, but it's not really like important for this trade because we don't really see him. But then he runs into the Violator who knows about Spawn, and then he talks shit about how he could like beat him up. And then Spawn's like, I'm going to just walk away. But then the Violator turns into that creature that we saw earlier. And now we know that they're like one and the same.
Al kind of is drawn like a little weird. He looks like he's out of like Speed Racer or something.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen this?
Yeah,
like, he looks like he's from like an anime.
He does look very anime.
Which is distracting because everyone else looks like fine. You
know,
it looks like a 90s
comic.
There's
like proper like rendering and wrinkles and stuff in their face. But yeah, this guy, maybe it's like the eyebrows or something.
Maybe. I'll show you another panel later where it's like
I could totally
blatantly
see that.
Clear. But
I could totally see that.
What's this timer for? Is that like his powers levels or whatever?
So I was very confused about that too. It probably makes sense later. This is why I wish we had Parker because I have no idea what this is either.
Yeah.
I assume
text him right now.
Since it's a Spawn logo and an hourglass next to it, maybe the more that he uses his powers, like the timer just like goes down.
Yeah.
And then once that hits zero, he's just dead again. That's like the idea.
Yeah, I thought it was something
that they
like,
communicated, but
yeah, something like that. Or like his soul is like owned by the devil at that
point. And so, yeah, that's pretty much issue two.
Have you noticed like how he draws like the Spawn logo?
Yeah.
Just in random places.
Yeah.
Like in page 48. He has it just like in the middle of the page.
It's called branding, Daniel.
Maybe do that on page one.
You know, I like it. I like seeing it. And then it's a good logo.
And then issue 5, it's like its own panel. You know, it's huge. I'll point it out, but it's like, I don't know what to do with this space here. It's still the fucking logo right there.
I like that shit. I'm like, yeah, fucking put whatever you want on the page. It's fun.
I don't know.
I think it's awesome.
All right. Issue 3 now.
Issue 3. So Spawn's like still trying to figure out his life from before. And he remembers that he worked at the CIA. So he wants to look at the file for his wife, Wanda, and also see if it will tell him how he died. So when he makes it to the CIA headquarters, he like finds a dude there and punishes this guy for hitting on the secretary and not paying child support. Pause. Like, yeah. I like that this is an anti-hero that goes after dudes that just haven't paid child support.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Like, literally the one heroic thing he's done before this was stopping 4 guys from trying to sexually assault a girl. And now we're to the point where he's stopping a guy that just hasn't paid some money for child support.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you run out of ideas already?
Yeah.
It's insane to me. But, you know, he's doing the real work out there because Captain America wouldn't do that, you know?
How do you feel about the devil design?
I think it's fine. He's pretty similar, I guess, to the Violator, except he just has beefy legs.
Yeah. He's got '80s rock and roll hair.
Yeah, he does. He's got some, you know, Sting hair.
He draws hands really wide. Have you noticed that?
I have not noticed that, but that's funny. Is that just for demons, or is that just like all people?
That's Spawn's hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked up.
And then like... there's another example.
Wow, there is another one where his hand's all fucking... Yeah, look at this.
Page 63? Yeah, I was going to show you that one. Yeah.
Oh, it looks like
a baby dressed up as Spawn.
And that was the glove he got. Fat fucking hands.
And then, like, his fingers are stubby, too. So it's, like, they're not, like, long to where it looks like...
You would think Spawn's fingers would be a little long.
Yeah, he's got these, like, Donald Trump hands trying to, like, choke and intimidate people.
Yeah.
Can't even pick them up.
It's just like... Yeah, totally. So Spawn goes to his wife Wanda's house, but in his white guy form, because he can't change himself black, I guess, or just what he used to look like. And he finds out that Wanda has a child and is now with her new husband after Al Simmons has been dead for 5 years. So when he was turning to Spawn, there's like a 5-year jump, I guess.
Yeah.
He faints with this new information, and both Wanda and her new husband help him get up and back on his feet. Before he just leaves without saying anything about coming back from the dead, because he doesn't want to mess with like her new life.
And he'd sound pretty crazy. He's like, yo, I'm Al. I'm just white now. And I came back from the dead.
But like,
you know what I mean?
But trust, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And like,
this is such like a bizarre scene because like no one like talks like this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like 90s book. So you just kind of have to like roll with it, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really interesting scenario because this is clearly like a wife that wanted a kid. It's like a very clear thing that like Al could not have kids. His balls are fucked up.
Yeah.
And so Spawn like doesn't want to get in the way of that. And so I think that's pretty interesting because like up to this point, he was like, my wife will just like help me figure it out.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't want to fuck with like her new life because she seems pretty happy.
Yeah.
So I think that was interesting.
So, yeah, a lot of this was him like being like, oh, Wanda, oh, my life. And then just more like, oh, I couldn't give her what she wanted and stuff like that.
My balls don't work.
It's a lot of
it is a lot of
like internal whining. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
In the captions.
It is. But it's tragic, Daniel.
Yeah, very tragic.
So then Spawn runs into the Violator again, who turns into that creature form, and he takes Spawn's heart, but Spawn is still alive. And that's this issue. Really good double page spread at the end, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's very
this is probably cool the best use of the cape.
100%. Yeah, it gets like really wide and kind of covers like the size of him. Very cool.
Yeah.
Issue 4. Spawn uses his powers to put his heart back, which is nice. I do like this page where it's the Violator holding his heart that's like still beating.
Mm-hmm.
Still too many tubes coming out of that heart. I don't think Todd McFarlane knows what a heart looks like.
Yeah, he's like, I'll just draw like this clump of meat.
That's really, it doesn't even like look like the shape of a heart, because a heart has like a distinguishable shape, even mm-hmm. like the anatomically correct one. And he's just put like blue tubes, like yellow tubes in there. It's really funny to me. But Violator, pretty surprised that he's able to just put his heart back and, like, you know, make it start working again.
Okay, another thing. Spawn is so OP.
100%.
It's, like, ridiculous. When it's, like...
When it's like, I have the power to put my heart back and make his heart beating again.
And heal. Yeah, it's like...
He doesn't need his heart either. Unless he's, like, using his power to stay alive while he doesn't have a heart. Therefore, draining, like, the, you know, whatever powers.
Right. Like, I get that he is very limited on all this and it'll all go down to zero at some point.
Yeah.
Which I'd love to know what happens at that point.
It would be interesting.
What did happen. But it's like all the bells and whistles that come with that. You know, it's like you never think he's going to lose.
I'm not worried about this character.
Yeah.
Especially knowing that he's going to be alive for like 300 more issues.
Right.
So.
Bit of a spoiler.
Yeah. But it's nice to get like finally like an extended action sequence where we can like see him like use blasts and stuff. Because I think like this is some of the strongest part of the book. He just looks cool. He's shooting beams out of his hands. Violator's getting hit, you know. And I really enjoy this page that just consists of onomatopoeia lettering.
Oh, God.
It's like an Adam West, like Batman, but there's also like limbs flying around and stuff.
Yeah, he was running out of time.
Yeah, he definitely was like, I need to do a quick page, you know.
Yeah.
But I actually enjoyed that. I thought that was kind of funny.
Did you see this like page that has like a scroll on it?
Yeah.
Not like the Marvel scroll, but like it's like just a scroll, but it's kind of like a caption or something.
It's like, yeah, it's like a caption for like the narrator, but I don't know why it.
So random.
It was a scroll.
Yeah.
Necessarily. Unless he has like, I think it might be trying to symbolize the fact that he has like a destiny of some sort or something. Like there's a prophecy here, maybe, but that like demon guy shows up to break up the fight. And the demon's trying to, he explains that he's trying to make an army of evil guys to fight God.
Do you know, I just call him the devil?
I don't think he is the devil. I think he's just a demon.
He's
is
probably the closest thing to the devil.
Okay, well, the devil guy comes up. He's trying to make an army of evil to fight God.
Let me look up and see if there's like a higher ranking person.
Than devil?
Than this guy.
Oh.
Okay, so there is a Satan.
Yeah.
So I don't know who this guy is.
I think he's just a demon. He's a grunt.
Okay.
Because, like, they don't ever give him a name either, which I think is a little frustrating. Because I'm like, what is his name? Because he only refers to himself as Daddy, which happens one time. And I don't want to call him Daddy. I'll just be straight up. So this demon's, like, trying to make a big army to fight God. And he's using his spawn to create it. And, like, as spawn kills bad guys, they go to him, I guess. But also, the more he uses his power, the closer he gets to a second death, which Al Simmons agreed to all this just so that he could see his wife again. So a lot of like explanation here. This is like the heaviest like amount of dialogue, but there's a lot to cover there. So I understand it. Also, the demon takes away the Violator's like creature power.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the issue is just like a quick plug for Savage Dragon, which I think is interesting.
Dude, we've read this before. These pages were in...
Is that why I recognize it?
Yeah.
This page.
Like just the one where he's in like the...
Is that...
In the hat.
Is this not Todd McFarlane drawing it then? Is that like Eric Larson?
I think it is Todd McFarlane, but I think they just included that in like the Savage Dragon thing. They both had
the same scene?
No.
Or Todd McFarlane drew this and this was also in the Savage Dragon...
I think he just took it and it was like a back matter thing.
Oh, cool.
I don't think he was actually worked into it.
Oh, okay. I see.
So that demon guy, his name is Malbolgia.
Hmm.
So if you want to say that, that's easier for you.
That was my second guess.
Did you see that the Violet had like an image shirt?
Yeah, what is that about?
That's fucking cool.
Does he just like... is the Violator like symbolism for how Image does their business or whatever? Or does he just like Image Comics?
I don't think it's a slight to anybody.
I was like, isn't this you? You know?
Like, I think it's just him like repping.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I love Image Comics though.
Yeah.
I'm a demon or whatever, but I love Image Comics.
Yeah. Because I think like he probably tries to make the Violator like likable to an extent.
Sure.
He's not like all bad, I guess. He's not very likable in this to me.
I like him.
Yeah, I think it's just...
I like how like cartoony his faces are.
Yeah.
I think that's like enjoyable to see. Like Todd McFarlane's really good at drawing fat people for some reason. Mm-hmm. That's something I noticed. He's got a strong suit in that. I also like just like his droopy like word balloons when he's the creature. I think that like adds a lot of context. So I like him as a character. I also think it's funny that Spawn uses the old like Raphael trick to just like walk around in public, where he just uses like a big trench coat and like a hat.
Yeah.
To just like walk around.
Classic 90s.
Yeah, classic 90s move. So that's issue 4, pretty much the end of the trade. And then we have two kind of random issues, but I like this issue 5.
Yeah, it's a good issue.
So we're introduced to Billy Kincaid, who is let go from prison on good behavior.
This page, this first one, is a novel. It took a minute.
It's a bit. Yeah.
It was just like...
I would rather this, though, than have it spread out over the whole issue.
It could be like, you are cured, Billy Kincaid, and then they move on.
Maybe.
Because it's just like this,
I mean,
like,
they do like say over and over, like, oh my God, this guy killed a kid.
You know? Yeah.
But yeah, basically he's let go from prison early on good behavior after having killed and cut up the kid of a senator using an ice cream truck to kidnap them.
His lawyer also got him out.
His lawyer also helped, yeah. Which later was discovered to be multiple other kids with like pretty much the same MO, but the evidence was blown up, I guess. But Detective Burke is really hung up on this, despite being like dedicated to the law himself.
And Sam Burke of Sam and Twitch.
Sam Burke, yeah.
Yep.
And Burke decides to take Twitch and do a stakeout at his house. And I think it's interesting seeing this character with like conflicting thoughts on like the same law process that he like typically believes in. And he's like, they're letting this guy go. Like there's obvious corruption there, but he's like, I guess like everything they do is like legal, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, some more fat dude. I just like that. I like seeing his side profile, and like he's always like smoking a cigarette.
Yeah,
like, he's just like a very funny, like typical cop dude. At one point, Twitch was like, "I saw you only ate like 6 donuts today. Are you on a diet?" And I was like, "Damn, Twitch, where'd that come from?"
Did you notice that Twitch has like a Hitler mustache?
No,
really, on like page 108. Like the where it's got those really skinny panels, it's like zoomed in on his face. Some panels it looks more like a full mustache.
I think he just has a small mouth, and so when you see it, it looks like proportional to a Hitler stash.
If you say so.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, it does look Hitler stash.
I like sure. I like this finger painting that Kincaid did.
He does cut up some. Which one are you talking about?
The finger painting.
Okay, yeah, it does. It is a painting that consists of fingers, you know. It's high art, Daniel.
Yes.
What page is that on? I'm trying to find it again.
I think that's also 108.
Oh shit,
I don't know. In Comixology, it like puts like two pages together, like,
oh, the, no, yeah, the I spread. See it. This one,
yeah,
yeah. So he's back at it again.
I was like audibly like ew, like when I read this.
It is, yeah, it's funny because the bad guy before this just didn't pay child support.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like, how did we get here? But
it's in the right direction, though.
So Spawn starts living with the homeless on the street, and he's like keeping tabs on his old wife, Wanda.
Look at this anime ass.
He does. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He looks like Baki.
That's, yeah, I don't know, because he's like pretty good at, like, even like Wanda's husband, like, looks pretty normal.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
Just try another one of those.
Yeah. So Spawn realizes that the homeless are treated poorly by the cops and shit. And he also sees that child murderers like Billy Kincaid are set free. And I guess Al Simmons was hired to kill Billy, but he never got the chance to since he was arrested. So he makes his way to Kincaid's place to stop him. There's some interesting commentary about the status of homeless people in here. Because he's like, we're just getting run over. Nobody cares about us. And I was like, this is an interesting like little side theme to the book, you know?
Yeah.
But Spawn makes it to Kincaid's house, and he's already started killing kids again. Sam Burke sees a caped figure enter Kincaid's place. So Sam and Twitch break into the house, and they don't find anybody. But later at his office, Billy Kincaid is hanging dead from chains because of Spawn. And Daniel, did you notice that he stabbed him with popsicle sticks?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That okay. is... Very, that's very silly.
Because he drove like an ice cream truck.
He did drive an ice cream truck. I understand the symbolism there. I just think it's very silly because there's like also like an ice cream scooper. that was like stabbed inside of him. Yeah. So it's like
those things are dull.
It took some force to get in there.
Real quick. So do you notice like on the stakeout, you know, with Sam and Twitch outside of Kincaid's house, Twitch like offers to like send one of his kids,
his own children, to like, be walk bait. Out. Yeah, that's insane. He said he has like eight kids, so yeah. Maybe he's like, I'll just put my least favorite one out, you know. But that's insane behavior.
Yeah,
like I don't, that just illogical.
Favorite Twitch moment.
Twitch is fucking wild. Yeah, you know. Yeah, that was pretty wild. Here's that page where there's just like another spawn logo there.
There's a bigger one later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that, yeah, it took like a whole panel. He's like,
he's like, you know, this page.
In case you forgot,
this page really works.
Talking about here.
This page really just works with eight panels.
In case you didn't look at the cover.
Yeah. Did you draw this logo somewhere at like a bar?
Yeah, at a bar that had a chalkboard.
Was it right? Was I right when I said spawn? Because you never
confirmed. You were correct.
Okay, good.
I thought you answered in a way to where you knew you were right. And so I'm like, yeah, he knows he's right.
Yeah,
you
know? Okay.
So, yeah, issue 6.
Do you think anybody else in that bar knew what that was?
Possibly. Spawn's
pretty big, I would say. If I were to go to like dad and be like, do you know what spawn is? He'd be like, yes.
And he said no.
Really?
Yeah, because they're like, why'd you draw that? I'm like, it's the spawn logo. They're like, what's that? I'm like, did you see the spawn movie?
Really?
They're like, no. Whoa. Then I asked mom and she's like, no. But they've seen Swamp Thing. They know what Swamp Thing is.
They were like big on Swamp Thing.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah.
Not big, but they like it.
Yeah, they know what it is.
They associate it with like positive things. And I'm like, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's just like all the... And then, like, remember when we were talking about...
Monsters were so big back then. Maybe that's why.
Maybe. Did you remember when we were talking to, like, our Aunt Dawn, and she knew who Usagi Yojimbo was?
Yeah, that was so random.
Because he was in the TMNT, like, cartoons that Brian would watch.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know the goat? Stan Sakai? You're a big fan?
She's like, I don't know who that is, but I know Usagi.
A multi-Eisner Award-winning letterer, Stan Sakai?
The fact that he was featured on that show enough to where, like, a passing-by mom just knows who that is, especially a name that's like, as difficult as that.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't say it right.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I was
impressed.
I was impressed, too.
She knew Shazam, too, but that was, like, a show in, like, the 80s or 90s.
That's true.
So...
Issue 6, Daniel. Unless you have anything else.
I kind of like reading comics that are made before we were born.
It is very fun.
There's a lot of
Sometimes
them.
Sometimes they're shit.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes they're good for their time.
I would say most of the time.
Most of the time, even if they were good for their time, I don't like them that much. But I like the metal 90s comics, you know?
Yeah.
Like, dude,
we should read heavy metal. Do you ever see those?
I do, and I don't know what it is, and I don't want to try.
It's like an anthology. Okay, so... So Grant Morrison was like a editor on it for like the last couple of years.
Okay, that's positive.
And this is like something that's been going on for like a long time. It's like a magazine, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's like a magazine size.
And it's mostly like anthology stuff of like futuristic, you know, metal comics and stuff like that.
Are they like one-shots?
I think so.
Interesting.
And apparently there's actually like animated movies of heavy metal. There's like two of them.
Are they anthologies as well? Or
I think so, yeah.
Hmm.
And so those came out in like the 80s or something.
Yeah.
And I guess they were, I don't know, the people there were trying to make it like kind of come back. And Netflix like bought like that, like the idea, I guess. Mm-hmm. But instead they turned it into Love, Death, and Robots.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
I learned that at the Love, Death, and Robots panel that I went to. They like had history on this shit.
That's cool.
They're like, do you know what this is from? And someone's like, heavy metal. I'm like, what?
Is it? Wow. And,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
That makes me like Love, Death, and Robots even more.
It makes me love both things better, more.
So maybe we do one heavy metal?
I'm episode? Sure like, we'll figure it out.
But, yeah, we'll figure it out.
And then we'll watch the old 80s movies because I think that'd be fun.
I think that would be wild.
Yeah. What are you watching? Heavy metal?
I would not admit that to somebody.
I absolutely would. I would go tell people what I did today.
Yeah. And then you give them the whole like history rundown of Love, Death, and Robots.
Yeah, yeah. We can watch it again. The rental isn't expired yet.
Issue 6, Daniel. We meet Overt Kill. Good name.
Awful name. Don't good give name.
It's a good 90s name.
No, it's not.
They're like, what's a pun? The overt kill, you know.
What's overt mean?
Overt's like purposeful, I think.
Fuck that. That makes it worse. Overkill is a better name. They should just name him Overkill.
Overt, open and observable. Used to describe things that are done or shown publicly or in an obnoxious way.
Is this guy obnoxious? It's yes. Correct, but I don't like it.
I think he is my favorite image character.
I hope he dies.
So we meet Overt Kill, who's a cyborg dude who's hired by the big mafia bosses to be a hired gun and cause a bunch of destruction so that he can weed out Spawn. And the mafia guys also find out Spawn's location by just killing multiple innocent homeless people to like weed him out pretty much. And I like this page with the mob bosses, and they're all agreeing to the plan to hire this guy, Overt Kill. And they're all saying like, yeah, let's whack him.
Yeah.
Like that's like the mean mob boss thing to say.
I like this dude in like the middle.
Bottom middle.
Yeah, his
teeth. That's just the Joker.
Like, yeah, he's terrifying.
It is terrifying. But
the Joker, if he was like cast by Gilbert Gottfried or something.
Oh. Wow, you nailed that.
Yeah.
I think
let him live, I say.
I think Todd McFarlane's so good at just creating unique character designs. Because he will never use these characters ever again, but I could see any one of these being like the main bad guy.
Why is there a kid here?
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give him that. He's good at that. I don't like how I reuse newscasters, but other than that.
Yeah.
Like these guys are fun.
Yeah. So basically Overt Kill confronts Spawn. They fight for a bit. Overt Kill gets his arm ripped off. Or at least damaged, but manages to beat Spawn to death. Or so he thought, because Spawn just gets back up. And he's like, man, I can't be using my powers. Oh, there is just a Spawn logo.
It's like, that's like the main thing.
I like that, though. I'm like, that's branding, Daniel. That's what you don't understand. We should have the Trade Waiters logo in the background of our podcast. Uh-oh, we do. It's right behind you.
Oh, yeah. See? You know, I saw some podcast, and they had like a little like watermark in the corner. I'm like, ooh, we should do that.
Ooh, that's
a
good idea.
But we got this.
Yeah, we do have that. So
we're covered.
That's probably. Also a good point. So he kills Spawn. Or so he thought, because Spawn gets back up, and he's like, man, I can't be just using my powers like this. So he just... His new plan is to go to an old army base and just gear up with guns. And that's the whole issue, pretty much. But the reason that Overt Kill thought that he had killed Spawn but didn't is because his life sensors in his arm weren't working correctly because his arm got ripped off. And my question is, why would you put that in your arm? That's like the thing that you're using to fight very clearly.
Yeah, it could get damaged.
Also, why do you have a life sensor? You don't seem like the kind of guy... that would need something like that, you know, because you're just like pummeling thing constantly. What are you going to like hover your arm over them like a life detector and be like, yep, he's dead, you know?
Yeah.
It seems very strange.
Another question I had for Parker is like, I wonder if like at some point like Spawn like fights God.
100%.
Yeah, I would think so. Or because like
I would bet $10,000 right now that he fights God.
Really? Well, maybe not him personally,
or at least Satan,
or cause at least like this devil dude like fights God, because like that's the purpose of the army, you know? And so I just kind of want to skip to that point.
Okay, so Parker did said that if he was to come back on for Spawn, which I think he does want to do at some point, it'll probably be later because I don't want to do multiple Spawns, but he said he wants to do
Sam and Twitch
Spawn Armageddon, which is like the coolest Spawn chapter. And he's like, I believe it's like issues this through this, and it's fucking badass. And he said Armageddon is Spawn versus Hell and Heaven, where he battles Satan and God himself.
I wish I could have fought that, or we could have read that today.
If we get him really jazzed up about just his favorite Spawn trade, I think it'll be even more fun.
Okay. Yeah.
And then he said, if I remember correctly, we also get to see a new suit, which is Angel Spawn.
Wow. You know what I saw? I saw this toy. It was like a Spawn toy, right? And
yeah.
It was this character called Redeemer. And he doesn't come in until like issue like 28 or something, right?
Really?
But he looks so fucking cool, I think.
Redeemer?
Yeah, look it up. Yeah.
Kind of like an Azrael, Dr. Fate kind of amalgamation.
Exactly. And he's got a sword and shit. And I was like, that guy is so cool.
That is really cool.
But I'm not willing to read up to that point to
absolutely get there. Not. Miss me with that.
Have you ever like looked into like kind of the publication history of like Spawn?
No.
So I think in issue like 7 or 8, Alan Moore writes it.
Really?
He writes like a Violator issue.
Wow, that would be disgusting.
Right. And but like this was like super early on, like I said, like 7 or 8. And he just has like all these different like writers come in and like write issues and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like Robert Kirkman has written an issue.
That makes
I
sense.
Think much later on, but
yeah.
Just like and even like
when did Mark Greg Miller Capullo start inking?
Probably not long after this. It was definitely in the 90s.
Yeah.
Probably after his X-Men X-Force stuff.
That's right.
And so I don't know. I thought it was bizarre. I get like writing and drawing is like super fucking hard
yeah.
and very time consuming, but
was he still drawing those issues when yeah, other writers were doing it?
I think he drew them while there's other writers, and it got to a point where he was writing and the other people were drawing. And then when Greg came on, Greg was doing pencils, and then
he started with inks though.
He'd start with that and then switch.
Okay.
And then basically just be him inking for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, so because he would add like a bunch of the Todd McFarlane shit that he wanted.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of bizarre to me that
he just like lets this go.
Yeah.
For someone else's interpretation.
And like now it's like he's hardly involved. I'm sure he might like oversee it.
I definitely think he oversees it.
But
still.
It's always like
it's probably just someone being like, teams and stuff. Here's my idea. And Todd's like, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if someone comes at him with an idea, he's like, probably only tweaks like one or two things.
Yeah.
Because you know? He's still got his like whole toy company.
Yeah. He's got the bag.
He's directing.
He's chilling. Yeah.
I guess if that movie's even still happening. But yeah. Crazy.
Has been canceled. So.
Back matter matters, Daniel.
It sure does.
Back matter matters.
Just inks for the covers. I think that's it, really.
Yeah, that's not great back matter.
There's a pencils page for the Ryan Kincaid all stabby stabbed.
Yeah, rough sketch one and then the actual one.
Yeah, I'm glad he went with what the final page ended up being because the rough sketch had like a panel on like top of everything and it didn't look that.
That was just a door opening.
Yeah, which was the panel right before that and the page before.
Okay.
But I like how he ended up doing it.
Y'all got to learn.
That's about it.
So
Daniel, what would you rate this book? To listeners, we rate books not by a number because you've heard us talk about it and what our general opinions is. So we do food sizes, but only the fun ones, not a small, medium, or large.
I'd do like a, I don't know, man. Maybe like a, I'll do like a like it of
really
like some cookies and cream ice cream, but it's like expired.
Wow.
And it's from the 90s.
You thought this was bad? That bad. A like it.
You thought this was good?
I thought this was better than like it. Expired ice cream.
But you still eat it. I'm not. Wow. I'm just kidding. Not from the 90s. Maybe like a year old. But like, it's just like the, I get he, this is like the first thing he's written. But like, that doesn't mean like it's a good comic, you know, like. He hasn't like learned how this can work like well. Like he hasn't gotten good at it yet.
I think he was pretty solid.
Like conceptually that's all fine and it works. And I like know that now. But as far as like flow, it's like it's very choppy. It was a bit of a chore for me
really
to get through this, and I didn't have fun.
Wow.
Like I was like, let's just get through this. There's good art. You know, like good pencils and whatnot. Some of the designs I wasn't crazy about. I honestly think that like plot wise, it was better put together in like the movie, you know, because they're able to have editors, you know. And so it was just, it felt like he's writing it like issue by issue, but not necessarily like the trade as a whole.
Right.
And so I think it like suffers from that. That's I didn't crazy. Give it like a taster spoon or something, you know?
That's crazy because I was reading this and like at one point while I was reading it, I was like, okay, I get why Parker likes this. I get it.
I didn't get it. I thought it seemed more like, I'm like, he likes this ironically, I think. You know?
He loves it.
I get that it goes on for a long time. People love this shit because he looks cool. I think I'm past the point where I'm like, I read this because he looks cool.
It's a bit of eye candy. For sure.
And it didn't have that like 90s... like twang to it.
You like this less than like Savage Dragon?
I loved Savage Dragon. Are compared to this. Compared to this?
I feel like you like Savage Dragon, ironically, compared to this.
No, it's not like I keep reading Savage Dragon, right, but the trade that we read, I thought it was really good compared to this.
Wow. You know I'm like vice versa.
Really?
Probably your level of enjoyment of Savage Dragon is what I got out of Spawn.
That's crazy to me.
But I would give this... Shit, I had something in mind. Now I forgot.
I think it's
like good.
I'm never going to like...
I'll give it a...
compromise with you. We don't have to agree on it.
Yeah,
you know?
We don't. I'm just surprised.
I think it's better if we have different opinions.
No, I 100% agree too. I'm just very interested. But I think it's like a... Oh, this book's very like, you know, from the 90s. A bit of nostalgia for some people, perhaps. I give this a happy meal. Because it's just comic slop, isn't it? You know? And you get like a little Happy Meal toy.
Uh-huh.
And Todd McFarlane makes toys now.
He sure does.
So I would give it a Happy Meal. You know, you get it, you eat it, you know. But like if I were to eat a Happy Meal now from the 90s. So like I wouldn't be completely full.
It'd be stale.
But it's fun to look at, you know. Like you get the little box, you open it up, you get a little toy.
But you're not full. You're not satisfied because it's made for children.
Correct. That's what I give this book.
Kids love chains.
Kids love chains, Daniel.
Okay. So I'm glad we did this because it feels like it's something that we should have done a long time ago.
This is our cornerstone of comics, and I'm surprised it took us 170 some episodes.
This is definitely first 100 kind of book.
Yeah.
But we just haven't got. We were waiting for Parker and
totally.
Here he not is.
Yeah.
And so
we'll have him back.
Yeah. We'll have him back for Spawn Armageddon.
I say back as if he's been here at all. But
or
yes.
Salmon Twitch.
Yeah.
Oh. We'll do both.
That would be kind of fun.
I'd prefer Sam and Twitch.
Over this
Armageddon
book.
Seems fun, yeah.
Okay.
But no, I was like, Sam and Twitch was the best part. And if we read that, I'd be probably a happier person.
They were fun characters. All right, Daniel, let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Daniel, what did you pick up this week? Actually, I'm going to go first.
You always go first.
That never happens.
I got two things.
What'd you get? Fish flies.
No.
You didn't get fish flies?
No, I read the Free Comic Book Day issue and I'm not interested.
Really?
I got In Hell We Fight number 2.
Yep.
Some real comics.
By Jonathan Lehman.
Yeah. And Untold Tales of I Hate Fairyland. It looks like it's kind of like a spinoff issue. I don't even know who the creators are, if it's like the same creators. But it seems like it's just kind of a spin-off thing of...
Interesting.
Probably an anthology. And I also got a reprint of a book that I heard about that seemed fun. It's called Local Man.
Oh, with Tim Seeley.
By Tim Seeley, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like a superhero cop and he's stopping superhero bad guys.
I remember the comic shop guy trying to like sell me on that.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, it's a big week. I'm not getting this.
Yeah. But
the fact that he was trying to sell me on something which he's never done before... I was like, okay, interesting.
Yeah, I think I heard about it. I'm like, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it down and they had a bunch of second printings or whatever. So I just grabbed them.
It's interesting that it has like second printings because you don't really see that a lot with independent books.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, I picked up Night Terrors number 1, which which I thought came out last week. Turns out that was Night Terror's First Blood number 1, which is like the prequel to the comic, but I was so sure that was the start of the event. And because I read that book.
Any good?
It's like fine.
Do you need it?
Huh?
Do you think you need it?
Yeah.
You need to read that one.
You need to read that one before this one. Otherwise, you start reading this book and Deadman's in Batman. He's like taking over Batman's body. And you're like, what the fuck? So
I thought that was just a cover.
No, that was like that's a thing that happens. I like the idea of this event so far, you know. I'm interested to see where it goes. It's only like a 2 or 3 month like mini event kind of deal.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is fine. But basically, like, do you want me to tell you what the concept is at least? I don't know if you're gonna read it.
I got Night Terrors 1, I'll get the old one. Or whatever.
Okay. So you don't want to talk about it yet?
No.
Okay. So then I also got Night Terrors Green Lantern, which came out, and How We Fight, Fish Flies, and then Doom Patrol. As well came out.
Four. I thought that came out last week too.
Yeah. But so that's everything I picked up.
I even like looked at Unstoppable Doom Patrol, like the area, and I'm like, fuck, they don't have it, you know, because I thought it came out last week. And I'm like, they just said like one in, like reprints of 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Then I like turn around. I'm like, oh. A very, funny. Very happy spot. I even wrote down in my notes, I'm like,
get
Doom Patrol number 4.
Yeah, I'm loving that book so far. We talked about it. But the only thing I read was just Night Terrors. So,
okay.
But I watched tons and tons of things.
Good to hear. I read Goodnight Pun Pun because that was a gift from Parker.
And
it's a gift from Emily.
He ditched us.
Yeah, and he's like the number one fan of Goodnight Pun Pun, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
But this volume, the second volume, is like the hook for me.
Really?
Because I was reading this and I read it in like one sitting. It's like 300 pages.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah. I literally couldn't stop. It's got this great flow to it to where like very not dense at all, you know?
They don't recommend mangas to me like very often. And when I was living with them, they were like, read just the first volume. And then
I would say read
first two.
So the two is how you get like the hooked. First one you need to read to like just kind of understand what this is, because it is like one of the most unique books I've ever read.
Yeah.
You know, this shit's like tragic. It talks about like grief and
very sad
pain.
I remember them saying,
know?
Yeah.
And I just like love watching it happen. You know, like what this one was so much more like background on characters, and I just like sunk my teeth into it. It was great.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I love that. Barnes Noble has like this like double rewards thing right now, so I'm gonna get like the next one.
Oh, very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, they're gonna be happy to hear that.
I'm like, I'm gonna buy the third one after I read the second one and then just kind of keep doing that.
Nice. That's exciting.
Yeah. Like each book, it's like different stages in Pun Pun's life.
Mm-hmm.
Like first one was like elementary school, this last one was like middle school, and then so third will be like high school, and then
yeah,
so on.
Doesn't the like writer artist like put himself into it a couple times too, or something like that? Yeah,
he's God.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's like this one picture that's on the back of the book that he keeps reusing, and so whenever Pun Pun like prays or whatever, his head just like kind of pops up behind like the sunrise or
that's
something.
So funny.
It's great. That's like probably one of my favorite parts of it.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
Yeah, if you want to borrow the first one, you can go through it and
perhaps.
Yeah. What'd you watch, Nathan? Let's hear it.
I watched My Adventures with Superman,
dude.
1 and 2.
I didn't watch the second one. I didn't know there was a second one.
It was like a double feature or whatever that came out.
What'd you think?
I think it's awesome.
It's so much fun.
I didn't realize it was Adult Swim. I can't get over Jack Quaid as Superman quite yet. I think I'll get used to it.
I thought he was supposed to be playing
Jimmy Olsen. He seems more of a Jimmy Olsen character to me.
Yeah, but this is like a younger Superman. And so once I heard it, I'm like, this like works. And then I started listening to it because I just like Jack Quaid, you know? So I don't think it's like distracting.
I like him too. It's still like, I think it works.
Yeah.
I just am thinking of Huey, you know, this whole time. I think sure. I just need to get past that. I love the show so far.
Right.
I think it's awesome. You know, I think it's focusing on a good point in like Superman's life where he's not like adult, you know, Superman yet. He's kind of like, you know, trying to make shit happen at the Daily Planet. I love the Lois Lane character in this.
Yeah, she's great.
So scrappy, you know, so fun.
Yeah, she's so likable.
Yeah. The Jimmy Olsen character is just kind of getting in the way with him all the time. I like that bit.
Yeah. She's not too like stuck up in a way to where it's like trying to like follow the rules and protect her career kind of thing.
Yeah, she's just very like,
she's like figuring it out, like everybody else.
Yeah, and like trying to make her. I don't know.
I would love to be in college and be as big as Superman, dude.
Totally.
He's like bigger than his bunk or whatever.
Yeah, and I like that there's like a Sailor Moon esque like fucking suit up sequence. I don't know what that's about.
I didn't really see that. I saw just like his like chest glow or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess you haven't seen that yet, huh?
Yeah, I heard about it, so I'm not really like a spoiler or anything. Cool. But yeah,
it's
strange that this is like Adult Swim. Like it's an Adult Swim show, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it seems like very much a kid's show.
It totally is.
And so
I haven't seen any blood or anything.
Yeah.
I like that the villains are like unique so far.
Yeah, just new people.
Just like new people. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's see what this is about.
And there's some sweet action.
Sweet action, yeah.
Yeah, the 100%. First robot scene, I was like, this is like so cool.
And they like nailed the parents, which I think is a very crucial part of Superman.
I don't think I got any parent stuff.
Okay. Well, there's some pretty good parent stuff I remember seeing, and I was like, this makes me happy.
So, Sarah even watched this with me. I was like, you want to watch cartoons? Because we were like eating like Jersey Mike's or something. And she's like, sure. I'm like, it's Superman. As if that was going to make it better. I'm like it's new.
You're going to sell her on it.
Yeah. I think she's going to let me watch the second one if I wanted to, but I like had to go edit or something.
Gotcha.
But
So that was fun.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. I watched the first Zom 100 episode.
You did?
I did.
I'm so proud of you. I didn't think you were going to do that. What'd you think?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I liked it about as much as the book.
It is a book.
Because it was a book.
Did you notice that they did the thing where it's like he goes to work and everything's black and white? And
yeah.
Then as soon as the zombie apocalypse starts, it's like colors fucking everywhere. It was
like the same, like he's like, oh my God, the blue sky, the green trees. But it works better on when there's yeah. color on the screen than when it's black and white on right. the manga. So I thought that was funny.
It's like it was written to be an anime almost. Yeah.
I think they do good with the zombie designs.
It's strange that the blood is like rainbow.
I appreciate that they went for a big swing like that because it's supposed to be
all
like
red
the zombie
would get a little annoying.
Yeah, well, like the zombie pocket is supposed to be fun for him specifically, yeah. and so I get why they do that with the blood. It just like I don't know if it works for me aesthetically quite yet. Maybe yeah. I just have to get used to it a little bit more. But there's that one Probably. Point where like the blood was blue and it was like under a mop. And I'm like, what's this blue shit under that mop? And I was like, oh, wait, it's blood.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a good idea, I think, overall. I just have to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they do a really good job with, like, Tendo, like, getting... What is it? It's Akira? Akiro? Akira? Something like
Akira,
that?
Tendo, yeah.
Yeah. I think they do a good job of him, like, being chased and stuff.
Yeah, they go so fast.
They go super, really fast.
This is, like, worse like, than, like, Last of Us Zombies.
I know, yeah. This is, like, World War Z type shit almost.
Yeah.
And he's just having a great time, which I think is really fun. And so I showed Sophie... She's like saw TikTok about it and thought it was a completely different show because of like she thought that he was like colorblind, but then the zombie apocalypse like gave him color in his life or something.
That'd be such a stupid anime.
I know. And I was like, I was going to correct her and be like, this is what the idea of it was. But I was like, you know, let's just watch it.
Yeah.
Because I had watched it or read the manga. But yeah.
So I was watching that like while Sarah was doing something else. She had like left or whatever. And so I was watching it in our room. And right as like. The titty part comes on. She walks in the room and I'm like, I like pause it. I'm like, hi.
But there's like no titties, which is very
interesting. Yeah, it's just like blood covering it.
Yeah.
But like they still put like nudity in like the rating or whatever.
When did that come out?
Sunday.
Is that when I watched it? I think so. It's very ironic because I got laid off like the day after and I'm like, am I a Tendo? Is there a zombie apocalypse about to happen?
Yeah.
But that's why
everybody
I
watched that show got laid
I
off.
I mean, it was great because I was able to watch like a bunch of things this week. So
yeah. What else did you watch?
Secret Invasion 2 and 3. We could talk about that later, though. I like the end. Evil Dead Rise. I made Sophia watch it.
You watched it?
I did.
Oh, did you like it?
It's awesome.
Really? Have you ever watched any of the Evil Dead stuff?
No.
I've watched just the first one, and it's very corny.
It's great. Because
it looks
Sophie
cool.
Verbally told me. She made the mistake of verbally telling me, like, oh, I want to watch this movie. But it was in theaters at the time.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to watch it in theaters. I want to watch it at home. A couple months later... On Sunday or whatever, we watched it. And I was like, hey, Sophie, you know what I saw on HBO?
Yeah.
Evil Dead Rise. And she's like, no. And I forced her to watch it. We had the blinds open. It was the middle of the fucking day. I could barely see the TV because the glare was so bad. We had the lights on and we were doing laundry so that she could have something for her mind. You know, she's so freaked out by like horror movies. She had a nightmare the day after, which she told me about, which I thought was funny. I'll say in a second. But I think the movie's awesome.
Did she do okay during it?
She was pretty freaked out.
Okay.
It was like
pretty scary.
She was like, she's very verbal. She's like, oh no, like go in there and then kind of set that shit. So in a way it's like entertaining for me, but also I'm like, I'm trying to try to pay attention.
This is such an anomaly in like the universe where you watch a horror movie before I do.
Yeah. And I totally recommend it. I think it was very fun. Like
I'm really, gonna watch it like with all the like at night, all the lights shut off.
I wish and then I turned did that up. So that I could see what the characters' faces fucking look like. But I think it was very. I mean, it's very like a typical idea for a horror movie, but like all the micro things in there, like the ideas that they put in there to like freak you out.
Yeah,
there's not like really any jump scares, but it's still like a scary movie.
Okay, it seemed like jump scare central.
I mean, there's like. Kind of jump scares, but like the main scary stuff is like you'll catch something in the background, you're like, oh fuck, like here comes or whatever.
Oh nice.
And so I really enjoy that, or like just really creepy cinematography,
which is like the best stuff.
It's like so fun.
Do you understand like the concept of like the Evil Dead?
Just someone gets possessed.
Yeah, it's like these like zombie demons.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's kind of what I got.
Yeah.
And then there's a thing at the end and I'm like, that's fucked up. So I thought it was great. It's also very gory.
I have to watch that this weekend.
And there's I don't want to keep saying stuff about it, but yeah, I think you should totally watch it. I think it's great.
Cool.
And I was very happy to watch a horror movie finally.
And that like you liked one, you know, like I know you've seen horror movies that you liked, but like
I like a lot of horror movies.
Yeah. But like the fact that, cause you don't watch them often.
Yeah.
And the fact that Because like we saw Boogeyman. You and didn't that like was that. Lame. Yeah, and that was lame. And so I'm glad that you got like a win in this thing that you don't get a lot of. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
So.
And then I bought Jedi Survivor, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Nice. Great
game. So I'm going to play that while I'm a bum.
I was thinking about that today. I was like, I need to play that more. I didn't finish it.
Ooh, I'm going to finish it before you even spoil it.
No. I watched the Spawn movie.
Okay.
Because it felt right.
I wanted to watch the Spawn animated show, like one episode.
That
in prep for this.
That's a great show. I'd prefer it's
good,
to watch that.
Good show. I just like seeing Todd McFarlane be all weird in the beginning.
Yeah. So you said you have seen this.
Long time ago. I think we saw it like together.
You know,
at like mom's house or something.
I did not watch it with you.
Really? Okay.
Do you know the Rotten Tomato score?
Ooh, super low.
Do you want to guess?
Yeah. 17. Can't be higher than 25, I don't think.
So are we saying 17 for critics or?
Critics.
That's correct.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. 36 wow. Audience.
Oh my God. Wow. I was so good. I was going to say like 22 and I was like, oh, it's too high.
It's too generous.
Yeah.
I thought this was like surprisingly solid.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I think I saw that and I had like pretty low expectations.
That's probably a good way to go into that movie.
Yeah. And I like knew the story. So I think as long as you know the comic, you kind of know what to expect in a way. And so the devil guy, they show him, right? Mm-hmm. They go to hell for a second and it has these like PS1 graphics and it's insane.
A lot of it is.
I think as long if like they just upped the CGI, it would have been like a much better movie.
Sure.
You know,
I vividly remember a scene where he spawns like floating down and he's got like his big ass cape kind of like succumbing everything. And that looks bad.
Yeah. His cape is like a symbiote in this. Like he doesn't always have it. Oh, you know, okay. It pops out like twice, you know, right? Because for budgetary reasons, I don't know why they would just have a cape that he has, you know.
I forgot to say this during the comic, but I love the like popped collar.
Yeah,
like
super thug.
Super big top collar, popped collar thing is really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good, huh?
What's weird is like they show his face, his scarred up face, like most of the time. And not
that
like,
does seem weird because the mask is very good.
Yeah, it's cool. And so some of the OP-ness of Spawn in this, it takes like another notch from like what we read.
Really?
So he's got his cape can wrap around him and camouflage him. It like turns him into like a piece of a building.
That's
so
awesome.
So that like cops couldn't see him.
Hell and yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
That's sick.
Apparently he's got X-ray vision because there's this guy who has this thing connected to his heart so that if he died, this virus would get out. He was able to use X-ray vision to see his heart, then pull the little ticker thing out and destroy it.
Wow.
With his vision.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy that he has more. This is like retro Superman level powers. Like remember Superman could like.
You'd throw like
his logo and like and wrap somebody
around people.
Up. Yeah. Or like in the comics, he used to like shoot mini versions of himself out of his fingers. that's like just Spawn.
Yeah. So I'm glad. I'm glad they have something to learn from.
I like the campiness of it.
Yeah. It's a little campy. Once you get past that, Sarah saw me watching it and thought it looked creepy, you know, with it, like the Violator and like the Spawn shit.
I remember Violator looked pretty good.
He does look very solid.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a lot more fun like in that. Cause like I thought his part makes more sense because it's like how it is in like the animated show where like he's kind of like a mentor in a way. It kind of explained to him like what's happening.
Yeah.
And just kind of I don't know, it just like made like a lot of sense for me. And then like the last thing is like he goes to hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to just like fly out. He like Violator like drags him to hell, right?
Okay.
And then when he's done like fighting the Violator, like the devil's like coming after him, but he just like flies up.
He just flies away.
He's like he just dips. I was like, I'm like, there's not like a passageway that has to be open or whatever.
There's not like you have to, you know, cross the bridge with like the dude, the skull guy on. You
yeah,
know,
the Grim Reaper. Or whatever.
The Grim Reaper guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's funny.
The way that he was pulled into hell is that the Violator came out of like someone's like fire pit thing, and that's just like the
he's just camping.
Point. Yeah, I guess.
So any fire you can go to hell through.
I suppose
that's fun
for this logic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so
was there just like a happy family camping, and then the Violator like fucking starts climbing out?
No, that was like Wanda's house.
Mm.
And so, anyway, it's not.
Does as Wanda have like a kid and stuff with like a new man?
Yeah.
Mm.
But Terry, like his like partner, it's a white man.
A white man?
No.
No.
But he ends up like helping and saving the day or whatever.
That's cool.
But yeah, not bad.
That's pretty fun.
I was kind of hoping it'd be worse, you know, because if it was just like atrocious, I think I'd have more fun with it. But totally. I was like, okay, yeah,
I was like, there's some merit here, you know.
Like I agreed with a lot of the choices they made.
Yeah,
I'm like, it was just a budget. No, it was really just a budgetary thing.
Yeah,
sure, I would take out a lot of the OP-ness or whatever, but
yeah.
Anyway, Nathan, Secret Invasion. Let's talk about it.
I also watched Starship Troopers. I forgot to write that down.
Have you seen that before?
I have, long time ago. I basically remembered nothing.
I've never seen it. Have you seen
it? It's so good.
Is it really? I've never seen it.
We did it as like a movie night.
That's like the alien thing, right?
Yeah. It's like big alien things. Like it's like an asteroid full of like bugs pretty much that like lands on Earth.
Look at this game. Oh, I'm going to cut this out, but look at this game that Brandon sent me. It's like some
Starship Troopers game. Yeah,
coming out. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's guys that are like I'm doing my part, like that thing.
Yeah, and they're just like fighting these monsters.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
I was like, I don't know what this is, but I think he sent it to me assuming that I knew what Starship Troopers is, you know? Yeah. I think I saw Dad watching it once, but
it's definitely a dad type of movie.
It's like great. Our dad or dads in general?
Our dad and dads in general. Like, I'm pretty sure dads in general would fuck with this movie heavy. It's okay. A really good sci-fi movie.
Who's
also
in it?
Neil deGrasse
Tyson.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Really?
That's Barney from... Yeah. Yeah, he's in it.
Oh.
And he's so edgy.
Is he young?
He's super young.
Okay.
And I was like, that's so weird. Wait, also,
no, it looks the same.
Also, the voice actor, Mr. Krabs, is in it.
Oh, yeah,
he's a, like, army general.
He does that a lot.
And he, like... There's, like, figments of Mr. Krabs in there.
Did you do the Mr. Krabs laugh?
No, he doesn't, like... He doesn't do that.
That was so good.
No, he doesn't do that. But like the whole time when he was on screen, we were just like, SpongeBob, me boy. Like, or like money, you know, like those. It was so fun. Like I was watching it with Parker, like all the friends.
Oh my God. Your impressions are too good.
And then fucking Hank from Breaking Bad's in it. He's like a general as well.
Hank. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So there's like just random people in here, but the movie's.
Can you do the me arms thing?
Me arms.
Very good. Very good. That's like my favorite quote from Mr. Krabs.
When he's like trying to reach for the dime or whatever.
Yeah, he won't let it go. And so they try to pull it out.
Oh, man. He says something really funny when SpongeBob's like, let it go. But yeah.
Oh, he's like, I think of 10 good reasons not to let go of the dime.
Yeah, that's peak Mr. Krabs.
I love seeing him in like other things.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Because I'm like, that's totally Mr. Krabs. He's like the villain in like the new season of Dexter. And
oh really,
yeah, and it's very fun to watch.
That's cool. But the movie's like really good. It's really really bloody at some points, which is fun. But like it's like campy and cheesy, but in like all the right ways.
Cool, that's good.
So I remember like seeing like the ending scene, like whenever I did watch it, and it just like ends with like a dude in a cave and he has to like blow up the bugs or whatever, and that's the only part I remember. Everything else is like pretty much new to me, and I thought it was great.
Nice.
Anyway, Secret Invasion.
How'd you watch it? Is it streaming somewhere? Did you rent it?
I think it's on Prime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spawn was on HBO Max for a while, and I like meant to watch it, but it like left, and so I had to pay money to watch it.
Giving money to Todd.
And apparently you can rent movies on Amazon Prime and download them to your devices and watch them on airplane mode.
Yep.
Which is so dope.
Very clutch.
Anyway, episode 2, Secret Invasion, I think I like the show.
I'm still not there yet.
I
like Super Skrulls.
Wait,
did you watch episode 3?
They're not there yet, right? They have like the machine. They can make
they're
Super
like,
Skrulls.
We could do Super Skrulls, and he says Super Skrulls. Right, and I'm right. Like, okay, at least we got that going for us, you know?
Did you? I took
I
notes about
two and three.
I wrote notes about the two individual ones.
Okay, so tell me about two.
So two,
they blend together for me pretty much. So
the Nick Fury like de-aging like looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know how they keep nailing that. Like
he looks, I think they make him look older in this because I don't think he looks that old.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm like, I guess I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't hang out with him, so I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it is based off of like his like Capital One like commercials.
Okay, that's a good. That's a good.
There's a meeting of Skrulls, and there's Skrulls in all throughout governments and stuff.
Yeah,
and apparently there's a million Skrulls on Earth.
Yeah, and he's like, "Are you fucking kidding?" Like, I didn't think that was like a big thing for them to like argue about.
I thought it was. Yeah,
I was like, "This is just
this is a MacGuffin."
Yeah, yeah, whatever. So, I mean, I figured there would be.
I was thinking like 1,000.
I figured there would be a reveal that there's just a bunch of Skrulls on Earth somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Like, more so than what they were leading on.
They're not on an island.
It also wasn't a surprise because we knew that there were just Skrulls on Earth. So it's like, well, how many? And 1,000,000? That's not like that many, you know?
On the grand scheme of things, but if you're trying to, like, get him out, it's a lot. That's a lot,
yeah.
Yeah. I thought, like, the acting from, like, Maria Hill's mom, you know, when...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought she was super good. Like, she...
I didn't point that out specifically in my mind, but yeah.
I was like, good. Oh, damn, she's really good. Because yeah. She was like...
It was cool to watch Nick Fury be like, I fucked up and now your daughter's dead.
Yeah.
You know?
And she was like, she trusted you and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is
ooh, good. That's got a sting.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, this is a good scene.
Okay.
You know Olivia Colman, the British lady that
yeah.
is cashing in? I love her in this. Like, especially that torture scene that she had. Where she's torturing the scroll, trying to get information. I thought she's just super fun.
That's cool. Yeah, she chopped off the finger and then turned into scroll.
Yeah,
just chop off a bunch of fingers.
Yeah, just keep doing that.
It would be kind of funny if like he was a human and she's like, ooh, like ooh, I really fucked this up. This
is supposed to turn.
You know what? My bad. You know.
Yeah.
Here's like $1 billion.
And then that same guy, like Gravik and the rest of the scrolls, like kind of like take him home or whatever. But then they like pull over into the woods, and then he's like. Are we there? You know? And then they just like take him out and shoot him. I'm like, how did he not know that they were not home? You know what I mean?
Who's this?
So the guy that was being tortured by yeah. Olivia Colman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then they killed him. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was like, you know you're not home. It's dark. There's no lights anywhere.
You don't know what your home looks like?
Yeah. Did you notice the couple scientists? The scientists that were like a couple?
No.
There's a blonde woman. Making the super scroll.
Oh, yeah.
Design. And then the
remember, yeah.
tall, lanky man.
Sure. What are you brewing here? What?
Do you think that is Reed Richards?
No.
And Sue Storm?
No. Just because there's two white scientists and one of them is blonde.
And they're a couple. And they're making the super scroll.
Did scrolls originate from Fantastic Four? When was the scroll's first appearance? Well, when
you think of Super Skrull, what do you think of?
I do think of Fantastic Four.
Exactly.
I don't think that that's the case, though.
They had different names, but maybe they have fake names.
Maybe they're just looking for a home in their own skin. Yeah, Fantastic Four number 2 is when the Skrulls came out. That's really early.
That wow. is very early.
Yeah, like the Stanley Jack Kirby shit. That's crazy. And then they appear the next time in Fantastic Four 18. So they were like, they were wrapped up for a little bit.
Mm.
It's very interesting. Okay.
So, I don't know. I saw that and I was like.
Is this a Daniel theory or did you see this somewhere?
I saw this somewhere and it confirmed my theory. Okay. You know what I mean? But someone else explained it better.
Okay. I would be very surprised if they did that.
Yeah. And rather than like the fan castings that everyone wants. Mm-hmm. I would love it if it was just nobody's, you know.
Me too.
Because
I don't need to be someone famous, you know?
Yeah, because then I'll just think about, that's Jim.
But like a lot of people are famous when they get casted for Marvel, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like a Star Wars where they try and get nobodies.
Yeah. And Nick Fury has a Skrull wife.
Skrull wife.
Which I love. I think that's a great.
Does he make her turn to human? Because that seems fucked, right?
Maybe he.
Because he like gets home and she's like already like. Skrull form, you know. So it's like, what's maybe the, it's like is, a, that, is that unethical?
No, because think about it this way. Maybe it's like put on makeup for her so that she feels beautiful to him in a way, you know.
Okay, so when she's like getting ready for bed and brushing her teeth, does she like go back into like
she probably sleeps that way?
Yeah, she probably does.
Yeah, do scrolls sleep as
no scrolls? I don't think so. I think they can
it's think like they, an on-off switch.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's like a, yeah, totally.
It's not like they have to keep thinking about it.
It's like a toggle type thing. Like until you think of turning it off, it'll just stay on.
Yeah.
You don't have to like continually think about like being that person to be that person, you know?
Yeah. It's like breathing.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. I would say it's not like an accent where you have to consciously try and do the accent, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like a light switch where it's like, okay, for now it's on. I don't have to do anything until I turn it off.
Or like doing like a manual on Skate 2, you have to definitely like hold it. You know, that'd keep be it there.
Very difficult. Very difficult to
you
keep
You could
up.
Do it for a long time, but will you?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It takes a lot of practice.
Episode 3, they talk about Super Skrulls.
Nick gets fired.
He gets fired, yeah.
And War Machine's definitely a Skrull. He calls him Nick. And Fury's like, only my friends call me Nick or whatever.
I don't think they have or that kind of relationship. To where like... I think it's like he calls him Nick because that's how he just knows his name is Nick Fury.
Yeah.
But maybe they're not like close enough.
That's what I saw. You know, I didn't think that at the time, like, oh my God, he called Nick, you know, but I still think he's just going to be a Skrull and that's whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Him going away, you know, up into the ship for however many years, that would be like a really good fucking reason because I'm sick
he
of
left
hearing
his
it.
Like wife.
Yeah.
Who was like down here. If he had a wife in space, that makes sense to me.
Right. And it was like a Skrull ship. Why couldn't he bring his Skrull wife? You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
And so I just really like hope that there's like a good reason.
It better
that.
Be like we have Thanos up here, you know, like some like wild shit.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're alluding to like there's a reason coming for this.
Yeah. But they are. But yeah.
And
I don't really think much of episode 3.
They killed Emilia Clarke.
Oh, yeah. I was like, OK.
I was like, oh, that's soon.
But yeah, same. I was like, okay, so now fucking Talos has a reason to get his shit together. Like, they're just like killing off characters, and this isn't, especially with Emilia Clarke, because that wasn't even like the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
She like gets shot mid sentence. Like, it didn't feel like they built up to it really. So yeah. They just like kill her, and then they walk off, and then the episode keeps going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
They could have bookended it there, yeah.
Yeah. So now, next episode, we can look forward to Talos being like, oh my God, my fucking daughter's dead too.
I didn't realize that was his daughter until like this episode.
It was it was pretty apparent in episode 1.
It seemed like it was just someone that they knew.
No, because when Talos is stopping her from trying to climb that ladder or whatever underground, she's like, you know, Galia would have wanted this for you.
And then
Emilia Clarke was like, would have. Mom's dead. That's like what she said. So
yeah, because it's her mom.
Yeah. Wait, what are you saying that you just figured out?
I didn't
out?
Know that he was her dad.
Oh, okay. Well, I put that together because I knew that Talos and Galia or whatever were Gaia. Together. Gaia, yeah.
Oh, Galia. Gaia is the daughter.
Whatever, yeah.
So
anyway,
the...
It's fine.
Did you pick up what Nick Fury's like wife was? Her name was?
I couldn't tell you right now.
But anyway, she goes to like this security deposit box.
Oh, like, she like pulls out a gun.
Just for a gun. I'm like, you don't have this like under a pillow somewhere?
You should have a gun at home.
Yeah.
You were married to Nick Fury. Have a laser.
You have a break in, be like, hold on 1 second.
You should have a button that locks down your entire fucking house.
Yeah.
You know, like it puts the fucking metal barriers up and like how do you not have a gun?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think his
You
like,
should have an infinity stone.
His address is probably not like public knowledge.
Yeah.
But
someone will figure it out.
Probably, yeah.
There's people that have malicious intent towards Nick Fury.
That house is blowing up this season. Yeah.
If it blows up this season, I will confirm that it's the best Disney Plus show because that'd be really funny.
And then she
that's
went,
the only way they could bring it back is if that house blows up.
And then the wife like wants to talk to Gravik now.
Yeah.
And so we'll
it's fine.
See where that goes.
It's fine.
I just remember thinking like a few days after watching it, I'm like, oh, I have the Secret Invasion to watch on like Wednesday, you know? So I think maybe I just like having like a routine of like a show I have to watch on a day, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, that is fun. But I can say that I'm currently a bum that got laid off like this week and I had like all of today to do whatever I wanted. I didn't watch that show. So I think it's fine. I'll watch it before.
Oh, yeah, because it came out today.
It did come out today specifically. Mm-hmm. So whatever. That's it, I think. What do we read next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
So we got like an open week here.
Great. I have a suggestion. So the Sequential Scholars, which is a Twitter account that like analyzes comic books that I like.
Is it good? It's a good account? Should I follow it?
It's like a good account. They like do deep analyses of like certain comic book series. And they did a couple like threads on Young Avengers by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey.
Jamie McKelvey?
Yeah.
Like Wicked and Divine?
The Wicked and Divine team? Jamie Kelly, yeah. And Kieran Gillen, the guy that writes that as well. So I was like, that seems interesting. And I read the thread and I was like, this is all very interesting stuff that they were trying. So I'm interested in
Keen to read that. I guess if we would do anything, I would want to do like a Marvel thing.
Yeah.
Style over substance?
Yes.
Yeah, it's on Comixology. I'm down if you're down.
I'm down.
Or.
Here we go.
Since Oppenheimer's coming out.
Oh my God.
We could read Manhattan projects.
No.
Okay. All right. The Young Avengers the is coming Hickman next week.
One? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
When is Oppenheimer? Oh, dude, that comes out like.
Next week. You down for a double feature?
You want to join me, Ben Parker, and Emily, on a Barbenheimer?
Whoa.
We go get brunch.
You had plans, and now that I ask you, you invite me?
There's not a solid date that we've picked yet, because I don't think we'll be able to do it the Friday that it comes out.
No.
But I do like the memes of people being like, we're going to go get brunch and watch Barbie. And then after Barbie, we're going to go drink a scotch. and then watch Oppenheimer.
At the Harkins bar.
If we're going to do it, we're doing Oppenheimer Barbie, because I don't think that Parker has the attention span to do two movies in a row, and I'd rather get through the 3-hour one first.
Right. Because I think Barbie would be a great, like,
I think that's good for people.
A good chaser movie.
A good chaser movie, and like there's bright colors and stuff, so Parker will be distracted.
Have you heard about Oppenheimer at all?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I heard like a spoiler. I'm like, no, ooh,
I don't
want to
hear that.
Okay,
I know RDJ's in it. I didn't know that before, but
I mean, I guess it's not like a spoiler, but it's just like a thing that's in the movie that I don't think anyone expected. But anyway,
Can't wait to watch it. Yeah,
I guess if I don't want to bite myself, but like if you guys want me, if you get it, we're gonna
have like a solid, because I still don't really know if we're doing it.
Okay,
in general, I'll have to ask because I can't.
I thought I'd have to convince you to do a double feature.
No, I'm totally down for that. That sounds
okay.
Fun.
Yeah, if you do it,
remember last time we movie hopped. Fucking The Wolverine and Pacific Rim. Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah, that was sick. There's so many Asians.
So many Asians that day.
I remember watching Pacific Rim, and then we watched The Wolverine, and there's more Asian people. I'm like, God.
Oh, God, there's too many. That's what you said.
I don't look at someone else.
Where's the variety here?
Yeah, I know. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Give us a like.
Subscribe. All of our shit's in our link tree.
Yep.
And
that's if you want to give us suggestions,
tell us what to read for what Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic to read.
Sure, yeah. Tweet at us if you'd like, or
email trainbrotherspod@gmail.com.
Any suggestions would be cool.
Yeah, we like those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
even though it takes us forever to get to them, but we'll get to them.
All righty.
All right, later.
All right, bye.